This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
So Andy McCarthy over at National Review, he thinks this is 100% about January 6th, and the cover is just the National Archives thing. That's what he thinks. Alan Dershowitz, the Dersh, he says the Justice Department never should have done a full-scale raid. He believes that what they should have done was subpoenaed specific documents. He wrote the piece by on thehill.com. He says the decision by the DOJ to conduct a full-scale morning raid, which, by the way, is a legal term. It is how they discuss it, a raid. So, you know, all these people who are parsing words today. On former President Trump's Mar-a-Lago home does not seem justified based on what we know as of now. If it is true that the basis of the raid was the former president's alleged removal of classified material from the White House, that would constitute a double standard of justice. There were no raids, for example, on the home of Hillary Clinton or former Clinton administration national security advisor Sandy Socks Berger for his comparable allegations of mishandling official records in the recent past. Previous violations of the Presidential Records Act have been punished by administrative fines, not criminal prosecution. Perhaps there are legitimate reasons for applying a different standard to Trump's conduct, but those are not readily obvious at this stage. The more appropriate action, Dershowitz writes, would have been for a grand jury to issue a subpoena for any boxes of material that were seized and for Trump's private safe that was opened. That would have given Trump's lawyers the opportunity to challenge the subpoena on various grounds. That some of the material was not classified, that previous classified material was declassified by Trump, and other documents may be covered by various privileges, such as executive or lawyer-client. Instead, the FBI apparently seized everything in view and will sort the documents and other material without a court deciding which ones are appropriately subject to Justice Department seizure. Now, this is the important point here that Dershowitz writes. Searches and seizures should only be used when subpoenas are inappropriate because of the risk of evidence destruction. It is important to note that Trump himself was 1,000 miles away when the FBI search and seizure occurred. It would have been impossible, therefore, for him to destroy subpoenaed evidence, especially if the subpoena demanded immediate production. If he or anyone else destroyed evidence that was subject to a subpoena, that would be a far more serious crime than what the search warrant seems to have alleged. It is unlikely that there is a basis for believing that the search warrant was sought because of a legitimate fear that subpoenaed evidence would be destroyed. Defenders of the raid argue that the search warrant was issued by a judge, yet every criminal defense lawyer knows that search warrants are issued routinely and less critically than candy is distributed on Halloween. Judges rarely exercise real discretion or real supervision. It may be different when a president's home is the subject of the search, but only time will tell whether that was the case here. Neutral, objective justice must not only be done, it must be seen to be done. For zealous Trump haters, anything done to Trump is justified. For zealous Trump lovers, nothing done to Trump is ever justified. For the majority of moderate, thoughtful Americans, however, the Justice Department's raid likely seems, at least at this point in time, to be unjust or needlessly confrontational. That's an important point, right? Needlessly confrontational. Thus, it is now up to the Justice Department and the FBI to justify their actions to the American public. They must explain why a different standard appears to have been applied to Democrats such as Clinton and Berger than to Republicans such as Trump and many of his associates. Critics of this demand for a single standard of justice insultingly call it whataboutism. A more appropriate term would be the shoe on the other foot test. No government act should ever be accepted unless it would be equally applied if the shoe were on the other foot. In other words, if it were applied equally to political friends and foes. But he says, for now, let's not rush to judgment. Let's see what Merrick Garland does. He suggests they do a special master should be appointed who can go through the evidence and look through it. And that would probably work right there. He concludes by saying it is true that a former president or even a sitting president is not above the law, but neither should he or she be below the law. Precedents established in relation to Democrats must be equally applied to Republicans. On the face of it, that standard has not been met here. The burden of proof is now in the Justice Department and the FBI to justify what appears to be unequal justice. I think that's an important point, too, because remember something, which is that if you think about the concept of innocent until proven guilty, which every person is supposed to enjoy, then you would understand them. The point being that if the government's going to raid your home, there has to be a good reason for it. There has to be a very compelling reason. And it doesn't make you guilty because the government raids your home. It just doesn't. You're still innocent in the eyes of the law. Now, NPR, National Public Radio, the far right wing National Public Radio, had written a piece back in April 7th of 2016. At the time, they were justifying Hillary Clinton's possession of all kinds of classified documents. I'll get to that piece in due course with you. But I think that the LoveGov Andrew Cuomo's point is also something that must be discussed, too. DOJ must immediately explain the reason for its raid. It must be more than a search for inconsequential archives, or it will be viewed as a political tactic and undermine any future credible investigation and legitimacy of January 6th investigations. Now, several Trump-hating lawyers were writing pieces like, well, they're going to get him like they got Capone. You know, Capone, they got him on tax evasion. They knew Capone did all these other things, but they got him on taxes. They're going to get Trump on holding classified material. Now, the problem with that analogy is Al Capone was not a former president of the United States and a future potential presidential candidate. See, the problem here is that if you go after Trump for a piece of paper or several pieces of paper or boxes of paper, and you think that's how you're going to get him, and you so hate him and you think that he so deserves justice that you could get him no matter how you get him. The problem with that, of course, is that he runs for president and then rallies all of his supporters to say, they're coming after me because they're so hell-bent on coming after me. And then it helps him politically. I mean, why his enemies can't see this? I really do think it comes down to the Michael Corleone test of never hate your enemies because it clouds your judgment. Because, I mean, if they are, and my theory is, see, I disagree with Andy McCarthy. Andy McCarthy at National Review writes, he's convinced this is about January 6th. I don't know what could possibly be in there, in the safe, the secret battle plans to get into the Capitol, a piece of paper from Trump confessing to the fact that he knows the election was decided legitimately. And then so what if he does? I mean, so what if he had written that down? That's not a crime. It's not a crime to lie to your supporters. In other words, if Trump really did believe the election was fair but said it was stolen, it's not a crime to lie to your supporters. Every politician in the world has done that. I'm not justifying it. I'm just simply saying it's not a crime. So I don't know what McCarthy thinks they're going to look for there that would tie him to January 6th. But I think it is the fact that they're just hell-bent on getting him. I think Merrick Garland and the Democrats need to change the subject, and this is how they're going to do it.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.